This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the old sous chef of the garden.
You're not old.
Well, sometimes I feel it, but not so much right now.
Okay,
no.
Good. It is the dawn of a new year.
Yes,
no time
it
to
is,
feel old.
As we're waving goodbye to 2017 and hello 2018, we're going to do it in style here at Zoomer Radio. Of course,
always.
Everybody's invited to listen in and join us vicariously, you might say, on New Year's Eve. Hey, you and I are going to be kicking up the storm along with everybody
else. I'm planning to. I'm putting on my dancing shoes.
Well,
I don't know about you.
Okay.
It's going to be a fun party here tomorrow night.
This is the last garden show in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make it a good one, folks. Get a hold of Charlie and say, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's talk gardening, too.
Sure. Well, that'd be a good idea. in Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Than anywhere else in the province. It's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know, and he'll pass that along to us. And
wings.
That's what you hear. Get your garden wings
garden
before
wings.
You hit the airwaves. Okay.
Okay, so before we do anything,
mm-hmm.
you've given the numbers, you've given the mantra.
Yep.
We're all good to go.
Yeah.
I have homework. Remember from last week.
Donna
from Guelph called. Uh-huh. She was worried about her boxwood plants that were not looking very good. And her biggest worry is the number of boxwood that she has on the property.
Mm-hmm. So, quite a few.
Yeah. Well, recently, about 3 years ago, 70 plants were planted. But meanwhile, there was far more that were already on the property. So perhaps hundreds of boxwood. And of course, you worry when you've got that many plants of the same genus that if a disease were to get to come onto the property, that an infestation could so easily spread.
Yeah.
So my quick homework that I've done, because, there is good information, obviously, Donna, on the web. I've just gone to a pretty good site here. It's affiliated with Maryland, University of Maryland Extension, but it has some good photography, boxwood culture and diseases, including boxwood blight. But by the sounds of what Donna was saying, she was referred to some of the bark as cracking.
Uh-huh.
Of course, cracked bark can happen on any woody plant. Because of winter problems. So we get a warm day in late winter, and then we get a cold snap that night.
Ice forms?
Well, that's right. What happens is the liquid inside the plant, the woody plant, thaws during this warm winter day because the sun is beating down, etc. Then that drop in temperature at night, that liquid that has liquefied suddenly freezes, and of course it expands when it freezes.
There
and in
go.
The expansion, the bark cracks, and then you can have a lot more problems from that. So, but I don't think that that's likely what's going on. It almost sounds more like something called, is that it? Volutella. Yes. Volutella stem blight or canker. So this is a disease. It is caused by a fungus. The main thing that I'm seeing over and over on this site is we know that boxwood is an evergreen.
Okay.
So evergreens mean they have leaves year round. So a couple things they need, obviously, good air circulation and good drainage. So whatever soil they're planted into should be a well-drained soil. But that air circulation is probably even more important when it comes to avoiding diseases. And boxwood are often trimmed very tight. They're sheared into hedges and little forms, topiaries, etc.
So would you have to open it up more?
Exactly. Avoid shearing whenever you can, because all you do is make it all dense growth on the outside of the plant. And of course, no air or light gets to the inside of the plant, and we have all this die-off on the inside. So whenever possible, use pruners instead of any kind of electrical shears or the Edward Scissorhand type thing. Avoid those. Pruners, selective pruning. Open up the plants as much as you can. Get the air, the sun, everything
in
there.
Sounds like maybe a call to a professional.
Maybe. But there, you know what? Honestly, I don't know if there's any real professional boxwood pruners out there. Yes, there are arborists, but typically they'll be up in the trees. They're rarely down low in the shrubs.
Right.
Here in Ontario, our boxwood stay, you know, a meter or less. Okay. Move to England, and of course they have boxwood trees, but we don't. We don't have the climate for that. So I think the main thing is the thinning. That's something for Donna, or she may have some garden help and get the garden helpers thing. And the best time, believe it or not, to do this is very late winter, early spring. So as soon as we get a dry day in February, get out there with your pruners, start doing some selective thinning and pruning, open up those plants, consider fertilizing in the spring, of course, all of our plants, make sure the nutrients are there for the plants to be able to thrive. And we are worried about disease, of course, remember any leaves that drop prematurely, good garden hygiene, keep the area clean, do not allow any diseased leaves to hang around on the property.
Okay, well, good luck with all that, Donna.
Yeah.
And keep in touch with us. Let us know how it's going here at Zoomer Radio, the garden show on the air. Matter of fact, we have to take a little bit of a break, but I do think we have callers standing by to say hi on this last little bit of 2017, so we'll let them join in the fun and frivolity that we've got planned here after these words on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, saying good morning and welcome to Helen here in Toronto. Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Good morning.
A happy new year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Same to you. What's going on at your place?
Okay, in September I received this beautiful orchid plant, and it's still got flowers on it, but I think they'll soon be going. So how do I care for it after the flowers are gone? Like, it's looked really good. I've watered it.
Tell me what you're doing now.
Well, what I do is I fill the pot, the outside pot, with water right up to the top. And I let it soak for 8 hours. Then I pour that water off, and it lasts a week, and it's just beautiful. No problems at all.
So, and what kind of temperature do you keep your house at? What's your thermostat set at?
About 75. We're a senior citizen.
Right. Yeah, so I wondered, okay, because by the sounds of it, that sounds like a lot, like maybe too much water. But But if your home is that warm, and perhaps it's a fairly dry home, do you have a humidifier at all?
No, we find we don't really need one.
Yeah, so that watering might be just fine in that situation, because obviously the orchid, which is, you know, really from a temperate tropical climate with high humidity, might just be loving that kind of moisture, particularly in the winter when things are so dry. And of course, the temperature is fairly warm inside your place.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So the main thing to do is, I mean, I love the idea of filling giving it that thorough watering. I would be inclined to not leave it for a full 8 hours underwater like that. I'd be inclined to leave it for an hour at the most.
Oh, okay.
And then let it drain,
You
know, in the sink or whatever, and then, you know, back into its location. And you've got it on a windowsill or somewhere where it's getting some light, I assume.
I've actually got it on the piano, and indirect light.
Yeah, so it's bright, though. I mean, it does get some brightness.
Yeah, yes. I have one of those globes that turns around and round by the sun, a solar globe.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the same place, so I think it's getting enough light.
Okay, so that's good. And you know what I would do? Carry on with what you're doing. Recognize that you're right, the flowers don't last forever. So as the petals dry up, you'll dispose of them. The green flower stem will still stay there for a while. So don't cut that away until it's completely brown. But it may eventually turn brown, and then scissors, cut that out. In February or March, start fertilizing and get yourself some orchid fertilizer. And at that point, you know, follow the instructions on the package that you purchase, and you'll find that that will encourage some fresh leaves to grow, which is fine. That's what you need. And surprise, surprise, it'll pop out another flower stem when you least expect it. So,
and Charlie, you were just sourcing some information about the orchid show that's
yes,
coming up.
Yes, good point. Helen, if you may have heard us talk about the Southern Ontario Orchid Society, that's quite an active group of orchid lovers, right from a hobbyist to like extreme, like love their orchids and know a lot of details. Every year they have a big show, and it's right around Valentine's Day. So this year it's February 10th and 11th. So coming up soon, in the next 6 weeks, it's here in Toronto at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. So if you are, it's such a beautiful show. The displays are knock your socks off.
You and I went there.
We did.
Last year, I guess.
And there's
it was
a ton of experts there who can offer you information and offer you more orchids to buy and lots of accoutrement if you need. But they have presentations. There are over 30,000 orchids in bloom
at
the show.
That's absolutely beautiful.
9,000 square feet of orchids. Like, it's just really, literally, like your eyes pop out of your head. My daughter came with us.
Yep.
And she still talks about it. It was so amazing, that show.
Kind of make that a thing to maybe attend.
If you can, it's a lovely way to deal with the dark days of winter. So February 10th and 11th, Toronto Botanical Gardens, $12 to get in the door. Can't go wrong. So that's a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yeah, made me think of my old friends, Peter and Inga Poot.
Yeah,
whom,
they're breeders and collectors.
But they used to be my neighbors back in the 70s, for heaven's sakes.
And they're there.
Goodwood, yeah.
We saw them. Their exhibits.
Yeah. Yep.
So do that if you can, Helen, and anybody else who's listening who loves orchids or loves to see and smell orchids. It's unbelievable.
Only 5 minutes down the road.
Oh, that's excellent.
Even better.
Oh, my gosh.
You put that on your calendar.
Yeah.
And we want a report, a book report afterwards, a show report.
Okay. Thanks, Helen. And a happy new year to you, too. And we're going to go up to Lindsay in just a couple of moments. We are up against our next little bit of a break here. But, Tony, hang in there. We're coming back at you on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Woo. Do you breathe? I was going to say, do you want to give the numbers?
That'd be a darn good idea. Yeah. In case, you're tuning in for the first time,
lines open.
Yeah, there are indeed. 416-360-0740 in Toronto and anywhere else in the province. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. Back in a mo.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And we've got several lines open right now, but we do have Tony online from Lindsay. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Frank, Charlie. I enjoy your show every Saturday morning with my cup of tea.
Oh, nice.
Two questions I want to ask you. I don't throw out my poinsettias, not because I'm cheap.
Okay.
I'm not Frank.
Right,
I'm not cheap, sorry. I just like big poinsettias. And my dad used to do that. He used to keep me around inside, and he used to, they got really huge, and I fell in love with them. Anyhow, so now the only problem is my dad passed away about 9 years ago now, and I never got the secret how he gets the leaves red. So one of my smaller ones, poinsettias, has red leaves, but my biggest one, who's my pride and joy here, he's not coming through.
Okay.
Is there anything you can help me out to the leaves? There's more sun, maybe, less water, more water?
No, it's interesting. The small one, it did respond by turning red. Because remember, you're right, it's a green plant all through the fall, the spring, the summer, and the fall. It's just a green plant. But given the right conditions, some of those green leaves will turn red.
So, yes.
And we no longer call them leaves at that point. We call them bracts. So B-R-A-C-T-S, bracts. And the conditions are that are required for that leaf coloration to change from green to red is the control of light. So somehow the small one is placed somewhere in your house where when it got dark in the fall and the sun went down, it was in a room where you didn't have any lights on and it was receiving a dark treatment throughout the evening, and then the sun would come up and then it would get its light and everything was fine, and sure enough it turned colors or turned to red. But your big one was in a room where you must have had lights on in the evening when you're watching TV or whatever, reading a book, and that plant was not getting sufficient dark, and so it did not turn red.
So they need more darkness is what you're trying to say.
Believe it or not, they need like 10 solid weeks of 12 hours of dark and 12 hours of light.
Okay. I was wondering, because my little guy, he's underneath where he's kind of shadowed under, and he's almost pretty well a halfway red plant.
Yeah.
But the other guy only got about 2 or 3 leaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
My big guy, my pride and joy.
Well, it's so interesting how it works, because it's, you know, poinsettias are originally from Mexico. So yeah. All the poinsettias in the world have come from Mexico. And I was actually in Mexico at Christmas time one time like 40 years ago, and there's poinsettia trees, like serious trees, like 20 feet tall, 20 feet wide, all full red on the outer edges, just like knock your socks off, so beautiful. And
I was gonna say, my dad had big bushes, I used to call them bushes in his house, and they were, once they're all turned red, they're gorgeous. Then I realized my dad used to put them in a wine cellar.
Yeah, exactly. But he put them in and he took them out. Can't just leave them
around. Yeah, November, December.
Well, no, but you can't just leave them in there for 2 months, because they will die in the dark. They do need light, but they also need dark.
No, but we had a little window. There was a window.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the sun would go down and, you know, they'd be in the dark.
Yeah.
True exactly. Dark. Even, and you don't crack the door at all. Even a little tiny micro, you know, gram of light screws up the whole thing. So they've got to stay dark. Don't be going in the root cellar once the sun goes down for 10 weeks.
Okay. Right. My dad used every excuse to go to the wine cellar. That's where the vino was, right? So,
yeah, but that was different from the root cellar. Yeah.
And so, the other one is about spikes. Okay, now, I used to watch a TV series called Trouble with Tracy back in the early 70s.
Uh-huh.
And
that was my late wife.
Oh, that did we lose Tracy?
Yeah. Diane Nyland was her stage name. Yeah.
Yes, I used to watch that show religiously.
Yeah.
Frank, I had a crush on your wife there. You know, she's a beautiful lady.
A lot of guys did.
Oh, she's a great. I know. I remember when you lost your wife. I didn't know it was her.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. But she always had these big plants, and when I get my apartment, when I grow up, that's what I want. Because I was like 14 years old back then.
Yeah.
That's why, and so I bring in my spike plants from outside. Again, my dad used to do the same thing. Bring them in, put them in a wine cellar. Sometimes you throw them in a garbage bag, throw them in a wine cellar.
Yeah.
Come, you know, spring, brings them out. Doesn't give them, I guess the key was not to give them too much sun right away. And these things are huge.
Yeah.
That's what I,
and you just keep growing them.
Now, I was wondering, can I do that? Bring them in, but keep as a part of my house here?
Yes. A spike is just a dracaena, and a dracaena is a tropical plant very commonly used as a house plant. You see them in
disease or something.
No, hotel lobbies, shopping malls, and they're big. Like these are big, and of course they're old when they're that big. So for sure, I mean, you've got them outside as a feature in a container or, you know, focal point somewhere in the garden. Bring them in the fall, because they will die in the frost. And for sure, just keep them as a house plant. Give them. They don't even need to be in a window. They just need some bright indirect light, and be very careful. Don't overwater them in the winter. Just water them when they're super dry. So every couple of weeks, give them a thorough watering. And then come spring, take them back outside, and they'll just get bigger and bigger.
When my dad passed away, I inherited his big one, his big plants, and I lived in Oshawa at the time, a nice big backyard. They were just gorgeous. Everybody used to comment about, you know, these things are like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I did wrong, because I feel like every time I watered them, they started getting brown and they were just starting to fall off. Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's the easy thing, is you overwater them, because it's too much love. You got to hold back on the watering.
Okay, that's super. Thank you, Charlie.
All right.
It's worth my nickel here. It's a quarter now in the phone. And Frank, I'm sorry about it. I call her Tracy because I don't really call her name, her real name, but she was a great actress. I liked her very much.
Great gal. She,
really.
She sure was.
Nice.
Sorry, Frank, for your loss.
Those sentiments.
Thank you. The way life goes, you know what?
I'm going to address something in just a minute, Tony. You'll maybe listening in, you'll appreciate this. Both my sons are coming out to the farm today to celebrate Christmas, because, you know, schedules, and my oldest guy, Kelly, he's a cop. And
he was working on Christmas.
He was working, yeah. So today is the day when they're coming out. And I know that, of course, Shirley listens to the show. It's the new lady in my life. And I'd like to kind of just acknowledge that I think Di, I know, would heartily approve of Shirley.
She would love her.
As a new lady in my life. Yeah, because she is such a sweetheart, and she's got such a good heart. Mm-hmm. And as I say, Di would really, really approve of our relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So just wanted to kind of lay that out there and say, hey, you know, hi, Cheryl. Good morning, honey. And thank you for listening, too.
That's right. And, you know, this offers a very good segue into an interesting thought process, too. Because, of course, where you're living now is quite a lovely Christmas card location in the woods with swans and
lovely.
A pond and trees and shrubs. Well, so, you know, it's been a week or so of plenty between too much food and, in some cases, too many relatives and, you know, drinking, et cetera. Hiking, getting outside just for a walk, is a great way to counterbalance many of the negative effects of this time of year can put on your body. Are you feeling, you know, for people that are feeling overwhelmed, hiking is a proven stress reliever. Eating too much, walking can get you out there to burn up to 400 calories an hour. And I'm not talking about hiking up mountains here. I'm just go for
straight
a walk.
Walking, yeah.
Are you tired of spending your time in malls, offices, and relatives' living rooms? Get out in the fresh air. So, you know, you've got the kids coming. You throw, I hope they're bringing their snowsuits. Get them outside. They'll be tobogganing and building snow people all over the place. So I just wanted to remind everybody that, you know, great walking is available if you've got, you know, easy access to a park. But both Toronto Botanical Gardens and Royal Botanical Gardens, their buildings may be closed for the, you know, New Year's Day and that sort of thing, but the ravines and the hiking trails are always open.
So you can make use of those, no problem
exactly. at all. Exactly. And it's a lovely time of year to be out walking. 680 Plains Road West in Burlington is the RBG, and of course, 777 Lawrence Avenue East at Leslie in Toronto is TBG.
Excellent. Okay. Just going to mention the phone lines another time here in case you're listening in from time to time. Like, gee, every time I call, the lines are busy. Well, you'll have no problem getting through today, believe me. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Or if you're in any part of Ontario, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And, you know, might mention that it's not only questions that we appreciate, but certainly if you've got some tips that you would like to pass along, we always would love to hear that.
Absolutely.
Or stories about successes and or failures that you suffered in your gardening
techniques. Yeah, just stories in general. I mean, I can give you an update. For some of our consistent listeners, they'll remember that I have a feral cat that lives in my back garden.
Oh, right, yes.
He is, I figure he's about 6 years old now.
Yeah.
We call him Mr. or Mist for short. But he's, he's like solid muscle, eh? He's like 15 pounds of solid muscle.
Wow.
The reason we call him Mister is because he's never been neutered, and he's very clearly a Mister. We have tried twice, my daughter and I, to take him to the vet to get him neutered, and it's never worked out because he's had too many other infections and things going on. So we end up spending our, you know, $500 on antibiotics instead of a neutering. So anyway, he's in pretty good shape, but he's been avoiding coming in this winter until 2 days ago.
Well, it's so darn cold.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
Thursday morning, it was so cold. I don't know how cold it was, but it was so cold. He did come in for, had some food, hunkered down for 2 hours. He loves his catnip. So he hunkered down with his catnip and his little pom-pom and warmed right up, you know, chilled to the bone, I think, and warmed right up. So hung inside for, like I say, about 2 hours before he went outside. Now, we do have an electrically heated home that he lives in, so it's not like he's freezing to death out there, but it's a cat house, so it's not really heated. It's just the pad inside is heated to the temperature of a cat. So if cats are 98.6 Fahrenheit, then that's what that pad dad is. So it, basically, it doesn't. It's not like an electric blanket or something that's hot
it gets
for him.
Too hot. Yeah.
It's supposed to just keep his core temperature where it should be, and it's nice and cozy, and it's a great little house. So that's where he's been hanging out. But when he comes inside, we're always happy when it's so cold like that because boy, even his heated water bowl was looking pretty frozen.
You've got, and of course, here in town, so cold means tomorrow evening.
Cancellations.
Festivities at City Hall have been dropped for the most part. They're going to have a little bit of music before midnight, fireworks, and then boom.
Quick, go home.
Yeah, and then
no
get the
hanging
hell home.
Around outside. I know. I think it's going to be a quiet New Year's in that sense. It's just too cold.
Hey, you know what? Let's wander off to Waterloo.
All right.
Okay, there's Mary. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank, and Happy New Year, Charlie and
thank
Frank
you.
And all you
good morning.
Wonderful people at the station.
Thank you.
What can we help you with?
Charlie, I got a bamboo plant, but I would like to, it's 12 inches long, okay?
Is that one of the lucky bamboo?
Pardon me?
It's called a lucky bamboo?
No, this is just like a bamboo stalk.
Okay.
Okay, but it's too long, and I'm wondering if I cut it, will it leaf again?
Yep.
It will. Yeah.
So if you look at that 12-inch long stalk, it's green, and it's got bumps horizontal lines that run along it. At each of the points where those bumps are is called a node, N-O-D-E. And at the nodes is where there are, you can't see them, but there are buds underneath the green there that are completely dormant right now. Given the right conditions, those buds will pop and they will grow leaves at each of those points. Or they can also grow roots at those points. So they
can either leaves or
roots at the nodes.
If I cut them off there, it will root?
Yep.
It will.
Yep. So you just make sure that you've got a node for roots and a node above that for leaves.
Uh-huh.
So minimum two nodes per piece.
Uh-huh.
So you could theoretically cut that 12-inch piece into several pieces, but just make sure you've got a minimum of two, but preferably three or four nodes per piece.
And put that in water then?
Yep. It'll work in water.
Well, thank you.
Just suspend it over the water. Like, you don't want the whole thing underwater. You've got to have part of it sticking up out of the water.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But where the little nodes are underwater, roots will grow, and where they're out of the water, leaves will grow.
Hot damn. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
That's gorgeous. Thank you very much, Mary. That was so sweet.
But so that's so reminiscent. Eh? As you know, I teach at Durham College, or have been this past fall, and I will be this winter. The fall semester hasn't ended yet, right? We're going back next week, like starting Tuesday.
To finish the
fall semester. So Mary just makes me laugh because that she sounds like a student.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Is that how it works? Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
we have another caller online from Hamilton, but we do have to take another break just before we join Joan online here to the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And just a quick note on the phone lines here, 416-360-0740 in Toronto area and anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And there's Joan in Hamilton. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Joan.
Thank you very much. I'm calling concerning an orchid.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It has never, ever had new stems. It has about 8 healthy leaves and lots of roots, but
no flowers.
No flowers.
But it probably had flowers when you received it.
Oh, yes.
2 years ago.
Yes.
So what kind of light do you have it in? Is it a window or near a window?
It's right in front of a north window.
Oh, okay. So that's good. That's what it likes, north or east. So that kind of diffuse light that we get on the north or east side of the house. And it sounds very happy with 8 healthy leaves.
Oh, it does.
I think the only thing that maybe is missing is some fertilizer. Do you fertilize at all?
Well, I just use the normal fertilizer that I water my other plants with.
That's why you're getting all those great leaves. You need to use an orchid fertilizer. It's magical. I've been in the exact same situation where I'm so proud that I've actually kept an orchid alive because I'm pretty good at killing orchids, but they're all green. And then one simple shot of an orchid food and 3-4 weeks later, all of a sudden flower stems are popping up all over the place.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's
so
what it is.
So it definitely needs the orchid fertilizer.
Yeah, it's very specific formulation and it has very specific micronutrients that orchids completely thrive on and flowers will form as a result.
Okay, I'm going to give it a try.
Okay.
And hopefully I'm going to have new blooms.
Well, you let us know. And again, you heard us probably earlier mentioning that the Southern Ontario Orchid Society has their big show in Toronto, February 10th and 11th.
So I did hear that.
Yeah, sure, if you're ever able to come into Toronto on a weekend. But there's all your experts and lots of good access to orchid fertilizers and orchids and all kinds of amazing exhibits. So
thank you very much.
Love
I
your orchids.
I appreciate your help.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Joan.
Thanks for calling.
And a Happy New Year to you.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, from Hamilton, let's take a little meander over to Markham. How about that? Elaine, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
Hi. I have the most beautiful amaryllis in bloom right now.
Nice.
In front of my patio doors where it's getting the light in the daytime. I have to keep moving it all the time because it keeps bending over.
I know. You got to turn them every hour. They grow so fast.
Really. So what I want to do is keep this bulb later. Mm-hmm. So what do I do?
Well, enjoy the flowers while they're there. And, of course, in a perfect world, you might have more than one flower stem. So realize that the one stem might only be the beginning. Another one could come up. But as the flowers fade, so they'll get all crispy, the actual flowers, remove those, but leave the green stem that they were attached to because it's all about leaving green on bulbs. So green leaves, green flower stems. Exposed to the sunshine, photosynthesis takes place, the bulb plant will turn that energy from the sun into carbohydrate, which will fatten the bulb up for next year. So the more green that you leave on this bulb plant, so like I said, leave the flower stem as long as it's green. It'll eventually turn yellow, but as long as it's green, leave it there. Green leaves are going to grow, let them grow. Water only as required. Too much water, you'll rot the bulb. So, thorough watering and then allow to dry down between waterings, might be every 10 days or so, depending on the size of the pot and the temperature it's in. Just allow that plant to grow. Get it outside in the spring when we're frost-free. Let it be a green plant outside all summer. Again, that's all fattening up the bulb. And then come September, bring it into your house. Stop watering it, put it in a dark corner and forget about it. All the leaves will turn yellow and shrivel up and dry, you'll remove those and let it just sit. And it'll sit in that dark, dry situation. Doesn't have to be cold, just dark and dry. And it'll sit there for, 8, 9, 10 weeks. And then all of a sudden it will start to show a little tiny bit of green growth. Mm-hmm. And that's when you'll water it, put it into the sun, and it should flower again.
Okay, so when I put it outside, do I leave it in the pot? Or?
Yeah. Leave it in the pot because you're going to be bringing it back in.
Okay. And what about, the soil doesn't need?
No, they like to be pot bound. So they like to be in a very tight pot with full of roots. I wouldn't be overly concerned about repotting it. After 3 or 4 years, you might want to have to pot it up to a slightly larger pot because it'll just be too big to stand that little one.
Okay.
But for now, just leave it in the pot it's in.
Okay. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Nice.
Oh, that's terrific.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, amaryllis are so much fun. They just give, right? They're so little work and they give so much beauty.
Excellent, Elaine. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah.
And have a Happy New Year.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. In fact, another invitation to join us here on AM 740 New Year's Eve Tomorrow evening, yes. Yeah. Everybody from the station is going to be showing up, and man, we are going to have a ball.
Absolutely. Well, it's the annual. Time. It's the annual New Year's Eve party here at the station.
Got to get the phone numbers on the air, and we're going to deal in just a moment or so after a little bit of a break here with some emails that you've got in your hand there. But just in case, I'll keep my eye on the lines. If you're calling through, we'll go right to you. 416-360-0740 in Toronto and anywhere else in the province. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. And we'll be back right after these words.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.